Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Panic Podcast for a Wednesday. Or maybe I should say welcome back, because we never stop studying the Bible here. We do it all day, every day, in a determined effort to help you understand God's Word a little bit better. And today we're continuing our study of angelology. We're going to look at good angels, bad angels, fallen angels, demons, supernatural spirits, all that outer limits kind of stuff. So get your Bibles ready, get them opened up to, let's talk about Ezekiel chapter 8 in just a minute as we look at the fall of the angels on today's Panic Podcast. I just love that hymn, This Is My Father's World. I love that. I love that jazzy version of it. It is our Father's world in spite of what political leaders, I hate to call them that, political officials, elected political people might have you believe this is not their world. It's our Father's world. This is my Father's world. I love that hymn. I hope you sing it in your church. It's a great hymn. Well, we are, week two of our study of angelology, and I will probably go one more week with this topic, and then we'll start an in-depth study that we've already begun in the church here, an in-depth study of the book of Ecclesiastes. Probably no word of a lie now, because I know I always say that whatever book of the Bible we're studying is my favorite book of the Bible, but in all honesty, 100% truthfulness, Ecclesiastes is probably in my top five favorite books of the Bible. I love this book, and not necessarily for the reasons that you think I do. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks when we start our study. Angelology, fascinating topic. Unfortunately, the Bible has precious little to say about angels, so you can't really do a long study because, I mean, the Bible just says so much. In fact, it leaves more unsaid than it says. And one of the things that I was determined to do when we did this in church was that I was not going to get into mythology and legends and extra biblical stuff about angels, nonsense. So if we just look at what's in the Bible, there are precious few verses that deal with the things that we're all interested in, like where did angels come from, when were they created, what are they doing right now, how many of them are there. You know, the Bible gives us hints about this stuff, but there's so much that we have to theorize. And I want to stress that some of the things that we talk about or will be talking about are theories. That's exactly what they are. Could be totally wrong. Some of the theories, I think I'm 100% right, but some, I mean, I could be wrong, you know. And we'll really only know when we step across the golden shore and enter heaven, and then we will know exactly all that God wants us to know. But for now, he wants us to know precious little, probably for very good reasons. God knows what he's doing, and he's revealed exactly what we need to know about all kinds of things in the Bible. We wish we could know more. In that respect, I guess we're a lot like Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, they wanted to know more, and they went about it the wrong way. All that knowledge they acquired would have eventually been theirs anyway had they just been patient. So I want to urge you to just be patient too, and don't buy into some of the crazy things that are out there in regards to angels. Well, let's talk about the fact of the fall of the angels, okay? And I'm still struggling with a bit of a nagging cough, so I'm Occasionally, you may hear me cough before I can hit the I have a cough button on my professional podcaster's console, and it shuts the microphone off for a second, kind of like a mute button. So, but I can't always get to it fast enough. But I'll try not to cough in your ear. I feel great, by the way. It's not, I don't have pneumonia. I don't have the COVID. Just don't know why I have a nagging cough. It happens sometimes after you've been sick. Angels, as created beings, were in the beginning created absolutely perfect. In the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, we're told 7 times that what God created was good. In fact, the last verse of Genesis chapter 1, it's verse 31, for those of you taking notes, you might want to read it with your own eyeballs, says this, Genesis 1:31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. So this would also include the angels. Now, there's this allusion to Satan or Lucifer's perfection in Exodus chapter 28, and it's verse 15. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. So the angels as originally created were perfect. And yet there are all kinds of verses throughout the Bible that refer to some angels as being evil, not perfect at all. Here's a handful of verses. Listen, Psalm 78, verse 49. He unleashed against them his hot anger, his wrath, indignation, and hostility, a band of destroying angels. Matthew 25, 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for, are you ready for this? The devil and his angels. Revelation 9:11. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon, that is, destroyer. Boy, something very nefarious sounding about those names, Abaddon and Apollyon. And Revelation 12:7-9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that's Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Now Jude, right before the book of Revelation in the New Testament, and in his very brief letter, just about half a page long, tells us why there are some angels who are evil. It's Jude verse 6, just one chapter. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on that great day. And Peter also tells us why they fell. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. So no doubt Satan was the leader in this great spiritual apostasy. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet says, Isaiah 14:12. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. And back in Ecclesiastes 28 for just a moment, verses 15 to 17, verses ultimately speaking of Lucifer. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. And so I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. And I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made you a spectacle before the kings." So, as I say, there's no doubt that at some point in time, some of these perfect spirit beings that we call angels fell from their perfect state because of sin. And they were led in their fall by an angel that we call Satan, or the devil, originally known as Lucifer. Now, when did this happen? When was this great angelic rebellion in heaven? Here the Bible is absolutely dead silent. But it must have happened. It's obvious that the angels fell before the fall of man, since Satan entered the garden in the form of a serpent and induced Eve to sin. But just how long before this they fell is unknown. Now, those who consider the days of creation to be long epochs of time, as opposed to 24-hour periods of time, will naturally think of this fall as taking place sometime during this long period. Now, those who hold that Genesis 1-2 represents the result of some great catastrophe will naturally place the fall of the angels somewhere in between Genesis 1-1 and Genesis 1-2. Now, this is my belief, okay, that the angels fell sometime after the original creation of the heavens and the earth, and that their fall, their casting out of heaven, was the cause of the creation, or the, I would call it, the recreation described in Genesis 1-1. Now, from where I'm sitting, I can see some of you wondering what it is I was just talking about. There is a theory out there, a whole host of scholars, particularly those in the early decades of the 20th century, favored something called the gap theory. It holds that the original creation was at some time in the dateless past, and that whatever may be needed to explain the geologic eras took place in between Genesis 1-1 and Genesis 1-2. So, for example, and I am not one of these Christians that holds to the young earth theory. I just don't buy that the earth is 6,000 years old. I just don't. I think the earth is ancient. I think it's very, very old. Do not believe in evolution. Don't believe anything like that. I just happen to believe that the earth is very old. I don't believe man's been on the earth very long, but I think the earth itself as a rock in space is pretty old. And Pember, I think you could probably cite him as a typical spokesman of this theory. Let me just read what he says. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but the proponents of the gap theory, who say that there's an indeterminate number of years in between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 2, hold, as I say, that there's like many, many years in between those two verses. And, for example, the dinosaurs would have existed in between those two particular verses, among other things, including the fall of Lucifer. Anyway, Pember says, quote, "We see then that God created the heavens and the earth perfect and beautiful in their beginning, and that at some subsequent period, how remote we cannot tell, the earth passed into a state of utter desolation and was void of all life. The very light of the sun had withdrawn, all the moisture of its atmosphere had sunk upon its surface, and the ruined planet, covered above its very mountaintops with black floods of destruction, was rolling through space in a horror of great darkness." The conventional arguments that have been offered in support of the gap theory, we might talk about at some point later on. We also call this the hiatus theory or the restitution theory. So once again, the idea is the earth was created perfect, and then when the devil and his angels were cast out of heaven, they struck the earth causing catastrophic damage. That's what we see in verse 2. The earth was formless and void. That's not originally how God created it. Because you got to ask yourself, why would God create something formless and void? I mean, he spoke everything into being, so why is the earth a chaotic mess? Anyway, so when we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 onward, is not so much a creation as a recreation or kind of a repairing of the damage caused by the fall of the angels. And that's all I'm going to say on that for now. We might cover it more in depth at a later date. Now, why did they fall? Well, I think this is surely one of the deepest mysteries in theology. Angels were created perfect. They apparently had a free will, and this means that they loved God and lived according to his will. They served him and worshiped him. Their wills inclined toward God in every respect. Now, how could such a perfect, holy being up and decide one day to rebel and sin and fall from this state of absolute perfection? Well, scholars and theologians have advanced several answers to that question. And remember that these are all theories, right? So first, there are those who credit God with the fall of the angels. That is to say, their fall was his will. That sounds a little bit like Calvinism. You're right. It's probably an extreme form of Calvinism. So obviously, these folks also believe that God is the author of sin as well. I don't know how you can conclude otherwise. The problem with this theory is that if God is the author of evil, and then he turns around and condemns the creature for committing sin, then there's no moral universe. But that's one theory, is that God willed it to happen, and it happened. The second view is the belief that evil is due simply to the nature of creation, the nature of the universe, the nature of the world. This is the view of all these pessimistic belief systems from, you know, Buddhism down to modern spiritualism. Schopenhauer taught that the existence of the world itself was the greatest of all evils and the source of all other evils. Hartmann called creation an unpardonable crime. I would say that the modern green movement finds its roots in this philosophy as well. However, as I noted earlier, the Bible is very clear that everything God created was good. And, you know, the Bible rejects the idea that nature is inherently evil. Just look at Colossians chapter 2 in this regard. Colossians 2, let me bring it up here, because I wasn't going to read it, but I think I will. Colossians 2, 20 to 23, Paul says, since you died with Christ, to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So again, what Paul is saying is there were people, even back in the New Testament era, that thought nature was evil, and that all of nature was out to do man in. Now the third view, and Paul rejects that idea, the third view is the view of Hegel and a lot of evolutionists. That is to say that evil is due just to our natures. They believe that as mankind grows and evolves, eventually evil will simply evolve right out of us. That's kind of a Gene Roddenberry Star Trek utopian view of the future. But clearly the Bible doesn't teach anything like that. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite, that man is getting worse and worse, not better and better. So before going any further, I think we should note that in the case of man was created with the capacity to not sin. He was placed in the position where he could do either without being forced to go in any particular direction. You know, man was created as an autonomous being. And I would suggest that originally angels were created the same way. that they were created in such a state as they could remain sinless for all of eternity, or they could sin, and that their fall was the result of their deliberate, self-determined rebellion against God and His will. It was their choice to put their preferences ahead of God and His interests. As to what brought on this rebellion, well, the Bible gives us an answer, and it's in Ezekiel chapter 28, where we read about the king of Tyre. That was a country back in the Old Testament era, and the king of Tyre symbolizes Satan. And that reference, and we're not going to read all those verses. We've read some of them, but I don't think we're going to read them all today. The king of Tyre, as I say, symbolizes Satan in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 to 19. Overweening ambition and the desire to be like God or greater than God is also part of what caused the fall of the angels. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, which we read, the king of Babylon was charged with this kind of ambition, and he, just like the king of Tyre here in Ezekiel 28, seems to be a type or a representation of Satan. Selfishness, discontent with his present state, and pride all combined together to cause the fall of Lucifer and the angels like him. So they were given the boot out of heaven. Satan fell with, as they say, one-third of the angel population. And what was the result of their fall? Well, the Bible lists several results of the fall of the angels. And I can already see that I'm not going to get through all my notes for today. So we'll go on as far as we can until we hit the 30-minute mark, and then we'll just pause and pick it up again next week. Now, the result of the fall. Well, first of all the angels that rebelled lost their original holiness and became completely corrupt in nature and conduct. And you can look at Adam and Eve as an example. Of course, Adam and Eve were not angels. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, we don't have all the details concerning the fall of angels, but we do have the details concerning the fall of man. And if you look at what Adam and Eve did, like right after they sinned, they hid themselves from God and tried to cover up their nakedness, right? So if we kind of just assume that the angels did the same thing, they rebelled and they lost their holiness. In other words, they lost that innocence, and they became utterly corrupt in their nature, in their thinking, and in their conduct. Let me give you just a couple of references for that. We're not going to read them, but jot them down and look them up yourself at some point. Matthew 10, verse 1. Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12. And Revelation 12, verse 9. Secondly, so the angels became completely corrupt, and everything they did became sinful. Second, some of these fallen angels, not all of them, but some of them were cast down to hell or Tartarus, and they are still there, bound in chains until judgment. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. I believe that we read that earlier. Now, I remember when I taught this in church, people wanted to know, are they bound with real chains? Or are these like metaphorical chains or spiritual chains? Well, angels are spirit beings. They don't have bodies. So I don't see how it's possible for physical chains, you know, to work on them. So I would say that these chains are spiritual in nature, and that somehow, maybe it's some kind of force field or something, these fallen angels are stuck for the moment in a place called Tartarus. Thirdly, some of these angels, not the ones that are in Tartarus, but others, are apparently free to roam the earth and are currently engaged in opposition to the work of God as carried out by the good angels. Let me give you some references for that. Revelation 12, 7 to 9. Daniel chapter 10 and Jude verse 9. That reference in Daniel, the story of how Michael was charged to deliver a message to Daniel as he was fasting and praying, but he was held up by fallen angels in his quest to get this message from the Lord to Daniel. Or I guess maybe it was Gabriel that was tasked to deliver the message, and he couldn't get past these fallen angels, and so Michael had to come and help him out. Fourthly, the fall of the angels may, now again, we're talking theory here because we're going to talk about the gap theory. Their fall may have had a disastrous effect upon God's original creation. So when they were cast out of heaven, they struck the earth, messed it up. But they also had an effect. The sin obviously ruined creation when Adam sinned, because we read that the ground of the earth was cursed because of Adam's sin, and a sin that was instigated by Satan in Genesis chapter 3. So, you know, had Satan or Lucifer and the angels not fallen from heaven, then Adam would have never sinned. So we could say that, you know, the state of creation today, fact that the roses have thorns and the ground gets hard and there are weeds and all of this, that's a result of the fall of angels ultimately. Romans chapter 8, nature is, or all of creation is pictured as groaning because of the fall. Okay. Fifthly, in the future, all these fallen angels will be judged, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. And all the fallen angels, along with the devil, will be cast into the lake of fire, Matthew 25, 41, 2 Peter 2, 4, and Jude, verse 6. And I think we'd better stop there. I'm exactly halfway through my notes. When we come back on Wednesday, we'll talk about the classification of angels. You know, there's an uncountable number of angels out there, and they fall basically into two categories. And these two categories are remarkably obvious. Good angels and, bad angels. And we will talk about that next Wednesday. Meanwhile, on Friday, we are continuing our study of the Holy Spirit with an emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, I have to double check my notes, but I think we're going to be talking about the gift of teaching on Friday when you come back in 48 hours. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed our study of angels today. We need to clear out of here. I've got some people coming in and other things I need to tend to in the church. And you've got a whole day to get through. And I pray that God will bless you today and that God will give you a good day, and he'll anoint your ears to hear him speaking to you throughout the day, and that he would anoint your steps. And I just, as always, pray that you will be a blessing to everybody that you come in contact with. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I really enjoy studying God's word with you. So God bless you all. Stay safe and sound till we can meet together again. See you on Friday. God bless.